Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of Warrior Connection. Well, happy Easter to everybody. Please remember what this day is all about. It's a joyous day here in Illinois. Sunshine and warm weather, and that's how Easter should be. The flowers are coming up, birds are moving around and singing, and it's just pretty. Well, last week, ladies and gentlemen, we focused on education for veterans. We're going to continue to do that. Last week, we had from Western Illinois University and the individuals that run the Veterans Office over there, they helped us. And tonight, we're going to go to the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign. Moira, I-L-L.
Yes, I and I.
Well, you know, I think over all the years, everybody knows that when you've been to the University of Illinois, you're a graduate or you've been part of the community, and you hear the word I-L-L, you come back with I and I, don't you?
Yeah, my mom went here and still chants it all the time.
Yeah, well, tonight, ladies and gentlemen, let's talk about a little bit of history and everything and where we're going with everything else. For one thing, we've got a lot of individuals that are going to be getting out of the military, and obviously they want to continue their academic education and go to the universities and everything. We have an awful lot of individuals that have incredible level of training as a combat medic or a corpsman, and what they can do on there is continue their education and get everything. At the University of Illinois, not only do we have incredible academic programs, but we have a program, and Moira is totally involved in it to the current day, with what's called Illini, Illinois Emergency Medical Services, or IEMS, and it works as an EMT and everything else. And so it's been around a long time. This is, what, coming on the 35th anniversary, isn't it?
Correct.
Wow, a little bit of history. Well, Moira and I, you and I have talked a little bit, and I was involved in day one with a whole bunch of individuals when we founded IEMS at the University of Illinois. And the neat thing, and I think, Moira, as you've begun to find out, the guys that got involved in this were all connected with the military or the University of Illinois Police Department, Champaign and Urbana Police and Fire Departments, and the University of Illinois. So it's, I mean, it's incredible how something can develop over the years to last and last and last and make an impact.
Exactly. It's awesome.
Well, IEMS, and as we found out, started back in 1979 at the University of Illinois. At that time, Paul Dowens was the chief of police. The guy in charge of the fire department, Lieutenant Dick Rogers, now Dr. Dick Rogers, they got together with a whole bunch of us, and it was proposed at a place called Timponi's Pizza and a little sandwich shop is now a formal Timponi's restaurant, to form Illini Emergency Medical Services. The concept and the idea at that time, and I think it's still the same today, is to provide emergency services trained EMTs and first responders for all events on the University of Illinois campus. And you're still doing that today, aren't you?
Yeah, so we work as standby BLS non-transport. So it's always at least one EMT basic and then either two CPR members or two first responders in teams, and then depending on the attendance at that event determines how many teams will be there.
Yeah, so it's quite a members. I know when we first started this, all the people that were involved in it went on to have incredible careers. The neat thing about this, and I still keep hearing this over and over again, and I think you've learned this since you've been there with it, as the individuals that come there and join IEMS might be pre-med, or they might be in med school itself, and what they're looking for is some first-hand knowledge and experience to help their academic and professional careers, aren't they?
Correct.
So it's just been an absolutely incredible, incredible program. Well, you know, when we look at all these people that were involved in it, Paul Dowens, the chief of police, Dick Rogers, now Dr. Dick Rogers, he retired from the fire department, and I understand he went on and got his MD. We got Dr. Gary, what nicknamed Boom Boom Brinkley from the U of I Police Department. We had Sergeant First Class Arthur Slade from the 2nd to the 130th, 66th Brigade, Illinois Army National Guard, who was also a state police officer. And then, I don't know, have you ever met Amy Richardson yet?
No, I haven't come in contact with her yet.
Hopefully we'll have that done. And she also came there as a U of I student, and she was majoring in psychology and got totally involved in it and got involved in day one and just a few years into it. And she retired as a master sergeant in the U.S. Army as a combat medic. And we had Leon Lomax, and what was really neat, Leon Lomax, who is one of the most incredible guys ever teaching emergency medicine and putting this all together, He was also a sergeant first class in the U.S. Illinois Army National Guard, and he was kind of one of the team leaders and helped get all the instruction together. Up and beyond that, we had some incredible people in the Urbana Fire Department, Matt Weber, and then his brother, Spike Weber, who was in the Champaign Police Department. And I don't know, if you go back into logs and the history books, their mother, Frances Weber, was the first full RN staffing all the emergency medical services in the football stadium when we formed IEMS. So, as you said, IEMS was not a transporter other than getting them to the first aid station wherever the venue was, whether it be in the football stadium or now in Krannert. Understand you did get into the assembly hall over the last couple of years, didn't you, too?
Yeah, so it's an additional test in to get into the assembly hall, but we've been working with the assembly hall EMS and IMS, which has been really good.
Yeah, so
a lot of calls over there.
I think so. I mean, you know, we go back in history. I mean, this is go way back. I mean, formed in 1979. And again, it was formed because of the need was seen on campus. University of Illinois is a huge campus. It has undergraduate programs, graduate programs, professional programs. So you run the entire academic career. The University of Illinois sits between the communities of Champaign and Urbana, Illinois, which are twin cities. U of I is kind of like right in the middle of it, so you never know what community you're in when you're on campus, do you?
Never. They say half the quad is Urbana and half the quad Champaign.
And the quad is a pretty incredible place. I mean, one thing that's really neat, and I know we started this at the very beginning, and this is where you and I met this last year, is we have historically what's called Quad Day at the U of I, don't we?
Yes.
And could you describe what Quad Day is, please?
So Quad Day is for the freshmen and actually, I guess, all students on campus. And each group of the university, so there's over 500 groups, each gets a table, and then they create posters and flyers, and it's really good for freshmen because they're able to join clubs that they didn't even know existed when they knew they were coming to the university. So it's really good exposure for all people, and we tell people about our EMT class, and I remember when I was a freshman, I picked up a flyer from them, and I called my dad as I was walking home, and I was like, did you know that it's possible that I could get training to be able to work on an ambulance? And I was just shocked that I had that opportunity available to me, because I thought that in order to work on an ambulance, you needed to have, like, 8 different doctorate licenses and everything. So that was really, I still remember my first quad day.
That's pretty neat. I mean, I know when we got into the football stadium and we started working with there, I mean, so many events have happened over the years where IEMS was absolutely instrumental and integral in the entire thing. But, you know, one thing we think about, when you go to a football game, you want to watch the football game. Unfortunately, when you got, 60, 70, 80,000 people showing up for a football game, 40,000, I don't know what the average attendance has been lately, but you end up having a lot of people not only in the stadium but around outside the stadium with what they call tailgating. There is an incredible array in just a few hours of emergency medicine, isn't there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially with the heat lately. I know our first few games last season we had a ton of calls. So we have stadium teams, which are inside the stadium, then we had a medical bus, so a cooling bus, and then we have a golf cart that goes around the tailgates, and then also 2 bike teams, so 4 EMTs on bikes also going around trying to help people in that tailgating area and then bringing people towards us on the medical bus.
Yeah, I mean, that's really, really important. I mean, we don't think about this, but again, you've got people coming in from long distances. One of the problems that we've always had, and I guess it's going to continue for eternity, as you said, we've got both heat problems and cold problems. So we've got hyperthermia and hypothermia to deal with. The other thing that we have, and I don't know how to correct this, and maybe you guys can figure this out in your career, we have an incredible array of food poisoning.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, and I think it comes back to understanding what food poisoning is. People are preparing their foods the night before, then they're traveling to the game or not keeping them properly at the proper temperature. Again, we got hot foods and meats and everything have to be kept at 145 degrees and above, and your cold foods have to be kept at 45 degrees, between 40 and 45 degrees. You don't want to freeze them, but you want to keep them cool for safety. And somehow all that stuff gets tossed about when they're going to go to an event, you know, outside, whether it be on campus at the football stadium or something else, doesn't it?
Exactly. And then you have all the students who like to drink their alcohol, too. So we get a lot of those calls.
Yeah, the alcohol problems I've been combining with all this stuff have been devastating over the years. I mean, in Illinois, I mean, the drinking age is 21, but as we all know on the University of Illinois campus, and you and I have talked about that, it's been a standard thing that the students, like on any other campus, are going to drink and drink to their heart's content.
Mm-hmm.
And it's up to them to moderate and take care of it themselves, isn't it?
Correct.
But one of the things we have, and again, this is a big thing where the IMS came into so much play, you have a lot of individuals, and it's not just students that are drinking, because we have adults that are drinking and tailgating, having excess alcohol and everything else. And so you've got food problems, you got alcohol problems, you got heat problems, you got cold problems. And then, unfortunately, when you get, what, 40, 50,000 people together, we have all the standard medical conditions that are going to arise. So you have to be trained in, what, diabetic emergencies, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Cardiac emergencies, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things that's totally astonishing, what you don't anticipate. I know most people, you know, you've got a standard crew that, what are they working? They may have an 8-hour shift or a 10-hour shift, 12-hour shift on an ambulance, or they might work 24 on and, then 48 off, whatever they have to be. But they'll see quite a bit of emergency medicine. But one thing that we learned, again, this goes back to the same thing with the military, especially with the National Guard and summer camp, and, again, working on IMS on campus, the amount of emergency medicine that you see in such a short period of time because of the numbers goes the entire array of emergency medicine, and it's just nonstop work, isn't it?
Yes, I actually work also in Carl's emergency department, so that I could have something at the beginning of my shift, and then it's crazy how quickly your shift can change judging on what EMS really brings to you. You know, you never know what to expect, because that's the thing about emergencies. No one's planning to have an emergency.
Yeah, so all. Yeah, nobody plans that, but it does happen.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we can't overemphasize enough. Well, I know when we started this with the IMS, and we started this because there was a handful of EMT and EMT instructors when we started this 35 years ago. And I can't say enough, I mean, the individuals, Paul Dollins, the chief of police, Dick Rogers, and all these other individuals that put this all together and shepherded it for so many years. It just made a really, really neat impact. The neat thing about this, and hopefully, and as I understand, it's still going, and I still have people come up to me and go, weren't you with IMS, and didn't you help us, or didn't you teach us? And I mean, that's multiple generations ago. But, the impact is so neat, because when an individual comes to the University of Illinois, we've got such an array. And one thing we have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, and Moira, I mean, obviously the same thing for you. Everybody that comes to the U of I is brilliant in their own right, aren't they?
Uh-huh, correct.
I mean, we're talking about the cream of the crop, top 5 or 10%, incredible ACTs and SAT scores. And now they've got to study, but they've got to balance this entire academic career out. How much fun do I have? How much studying do I do? What organizations and clubs do I join? How can those organizations and clubs help me in my academic career?
Exactly.
And I think IMS is one of those that's totally unique, that anybody is interested in anatomy, physiology, chemistry, physics, nursing, actually going to medical school, become a dentist, become a physician, whatever they're going to be, veterinarian. Boy, this IMS just gives them a leg up on everything, doesn't it?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's really, it's so competitive, EMS, in our area, especially because there's 35,000 students, and then you have all your professional paramedics and everything as well. So IMS is a great opportunity for students to get hands-on patient contact without having to have an official EMS job, which is really, really good, especially now with PA school, how they require patient contact hours and all sorts of stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, that became part of the thing. I know when we first started this whole concept and the idea, I mean, we're sitting down at Timpone's restaurant in the basement, and they had a little room down there, and we were eating Italian beefs. And another thing, and this goes back to the legends and everything, Ray Timpone and Ginger, who was not his wife at that time, since they've been married now for what? Oh, man, we over almost close to 40 years. I don't know. Wow, a long time. You know, way over, I mean, as long as, you know, way over close to 35 years. But they had another pizza called a Pigeon Watcher Special. And I've been thinking about one of these days going back in and just ordering this stuff and seeing the look on their face because, you know, they're going to go, wait a minute, who's out there ordering this stuff? You know, have to come out and find out who the original group was. Well, when we started putting IMS together, again, we saw the need for emergency medical services on campus. We had all of these events that were happening on the quad, like Quad Day and everything. You have all of the incredible events at the football stadium. You have all the incredible events at Krannert Center. IMS has been involved in Krannert Center, I don't know, for a long, long time. They're still doing that, correct?
Correct.
Now, Krannert Center is basically what? It's the arts. We got theater and music and song and dance and everything. It's a world-class facility, isn't it?
Correct.
And so you've got everybody coming there, and this goes back into the same thing for the need for emergency services. Because the clientele that are coming there, just like on a campus, they range in age. I know I took my kids in there when they were just 1 and 2 years old, up to individuals, what, 100 and some. I know I've been in there with people that have been over 100 years old, personal friends of mine. And so you've got the whole gamut of stuff you happen. But the other thing, too, is you've got all the climbing and crawling and parking and moving that you have to do and standing in line. Just like at a football stadium, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Very, very true.
So then, again, you have all this, all the same kind of problems that you have to deal with, don't you?
Yes.
Except for at Krannert, it still tends to be an older crowd, doesn't it?
Yeah, but they just did open up, I don't know how long they've had it. They've had it ever since I was there, but it's like a bar-type thing. They call it the Stage 5 Bar. And they have wine tastings and live music there, sometimes before performances, sometimes not during performances, all different things. There's multiple theaters at Krannert, so sometimes when we're there, there's four productions going on at the same time, and then there's also this bar area. So that tends to bring in a younger crew with it.
Again, the same thing, but again, you're supposed to be 21 and over, but on campuses, I guess as long as I can remember, that's never been really followed. I think I told you a story. There's a famous bar on the University of Illinois where we've done a whole lot of stuff called CAMS. And I mean, my cousins and I, we were in high school. We went with our other cousins or were in college, and none of us were over 21, but we all got served. That's back in 1965. Boy, that's a long time ago. You know, it's so, so weird. Well, with the Illini Emergency Medical Services, I mean, when we first founded this and Paul Dowlands and Dick Rogers and all of us put this thing together, the idea was provide the emergency services at all the campus events. And along with that, we had to get incredible training. So at the beginning of this stuff, when we first started, the IMS, actual EMT training, was very rare. And at that time, you could go to Parkland College to get it. And then as we started developing more and more, and I hope IMS is still doing it to this day, we actually brought the full EMT course into the University of Illinois as a part of IMS.
Yes, we still do that today.
Yeah, that's pretty neat because that gave the students the opportunity because we could schedule it based on their needs and they didn't have to get out and run halfway across campus. They didn't have to enroll into a junior college. Parkland's an incredible two-year junior college. But they didn't have to have joint enrollments and try to worry about their schedule because with IMS, we could balance that all out for what they needed on their time and still allow them to get all the training.
Mm-hmm. Our class runs, it's a full semester long for the EMT course. It's Tuesday and Thursday evenings from 7 to 10 when most people don't really have class. And then the practicals, so applying the skills, are usually about every other Saturday. And sometimes, well, the practicals are split into medical and trauma, and then their final practical is everything combined. And their final practical for this semester is over at the Illinois Fire Institute, where they do use the cars and stuff that are over there to have really real-life scenarios that they could experience as EMTs.
Yeah, one thing that we did do, and, you know, we put this together because, again, the founding members were all, at that time, we were all EMTs, we were EMT instructors, we were emergency rescue technicians, we were CPR instructors. So we did put together and have what we called formal emergency rescue training, where we had makeup casualties, again, with what we call moulage, put in the vehicles, and we had to go actually cut them out and remove them from vehicles or structures or anything else. It was just, a long time ago, and there's a lot of individuals that have been moved on and retiring because, you know, thinking 35 years since this started. Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I know when I saw you at Quad Day, and I'm going, this is still going? And then you and I started talking, and Ed, you're finding out, wow, there is so much history to this.
Exactly. Yeah, we actually went to the whole officer corps went to Boston about a month and a half ago for the National Collegiate EMS Conference. So I thought, when I had never heard of a collegiate EMS when I first arrived at the university here, which was 3 years ago. I had never heard of it. And then I went to this conference last year, and there were so many schools there. And it's so interesting to see how each school is so different. And it really encouraged us as an officer group to see how can we really improve IEMS. Like, we stay standby at these events, but there's schools out there that are transporting their own patients to the hospital because they have their own ambulances for their collegiate EMS program, which is amazing, actually. So we joined with UIC Chicago. And this summer, a few of us are going to go up and work on their ambulance because their EMS group has its own ambulance. So hoping someday, maybe, I don't know, in 35 more years that IMS will have its own ambulance.
That would be something. I know when we had all the practical experiences when we completed the EMT training, originally myself and the whole group who did the first EMTs became the first EMTs here in Champaign County, Vermilion County. That's back in the 70s. The guy that ran the program, and he's still at, he's over at Christie Clinic today. He was in the Air Force at Chanute Air Force Base at that time, and everybody just went on to so much neat stuff. But
yeah.
What we had to do is our practical experience was extensive because, again, what we were doing and a lot of people who were involved at that time were either in the military or out of the military or working on ambulances on the side, is that what we had our practical experiences with in a place called Burnham Hospital, which no longer exists. It was a city hospital in Champaign. Mercy Hospital was now, I think they keep changing their name. I think it's President's Covenant today. And again, the MICU at that time was under Paulette Miller, another critical, critical person who was instrumental in all of this stuff. You know, without her, we wouldn't have been where we're at. And, I mean, this is a long, long time ago. You know, so we got everything going and we got everything together. The other places we did at that time that we had hands-on experience, obviously, is at Carl Hospital, which still exists.
Mm-hmm.
We also did at McKinley Hospital, which is a University of Illinois hospital. But, again, that comes on down to some of the doctors that we were dealing with in the military. Again, Army National Guard were full professors, and they were teaching at there and actually working at McKinley Hospital. So, I mean, the opportunities were just absolutely mind-boggling of what everybody could do. And,
exactly.
It's staggering. Well, what type of majors do you have that are participating in IMS today? It kind of runs the whole gambit, don't you?
Yeah, it really, really is all over the place. It used to be mostly medical people, but every single time I work a new event, I meet someone who's like a physics major or a industrial engineer. And it's really cool to meet people from IMS who aren't those medical majors, because I always ask them why they chose to do it, and they say they just really like to help people. Which I think is so cool that you can get a group together of people all out there trying to help people. You know, of course, you always get the people who are resume builders who are doing it just for the experience. But when you get that group who really is out there to help people, it's really fun to work with people who like what they're doing.
Yeah, it gets to be so much fun. I know one thing, and again, Amy Richardson and myself and a lot of the other ones, we got totally involved with the actual med school program over there, because obviously you get your second and third year medical students. These are the guys that are going to be real doctors, medical physicians of one type or another, whether it's family practice or whatever. And they chose IEMS and a bunch of us to go over there and do their initial classes on primary and secondary survey and teach them on CPR. Because what better than having the guys that are doing the hands-on to teach you that stuff? It's not theoretical. It's sit down and learn it.
Cool. Yeah, so Carl just got a new EMS director, and currently we are under Presence Covenant Hospital. They're our resource hospital. But Carl just got a new EMS director, so he actually approached us from IMS because he was in IMS back when he went to the university. His name is Dr. William Weir. And he is head of EMEG, which is the University of Illinois' Emergency Medicine Interest Group, because they don't have a residency program for emergency medicine at the U of I here in Champaign. But they have this interest group. So he put us in touch with the interest group, and lately they produced a movie that we went to go and see, and then they've come to different things with us. So it's been cool to get and meet those people, because we have so many people who want to go to med school, so it's great that we can expose them to these mentors who are already in med school.
You know, I think one thing, and I think you've encountered this, and all of us have been involved at IMS from the beginning, we've had students that came, brand new students, went through their academic career. We have students that went on to medical school. And then years later, we come up to them and we go, oh, man, IMS was fantastic. It got me on the career. It taught me a lot. I learned everything in my career in medicine is just flowing off, you know, I mean, taking off like angels flying through heaven. And that feels so good, you know, when you realize that such a neat, a student-run organization can have such an impact on people's lives over so many years.
Exactly. Yeah, so we're hoping for big things, but it's been great. I, like I said before, work at Carl, and I would never have my job there if I didn't have IMS, because I wouldn't have gotten my EMT license, and I wouldn't have known people who work there or knew that I could even work in an emergency room. So it's been really cool, and it's great because working over there, I'm a tech in the ER, and there's not one shift that I ever go where we don't have one person from IMS working. So it's really good that we've established ourselves there. We have people who work on Arrow's ambulance. We have people who work for Pro. So it's great that there's little networking opportunities out there for all of our members.
Yeah, that just works out to be another thing. I mean, we're going to come on back. I mean, you mentioned Pro and all this stuff. Well, another name that I'm not even know if you're familiar with is another individual involved in IMS, and Rollo Doff reminded me of this last night, is Mark Harcourt. Mark Harcourt was the founder of what we know as Pro today, and that's back about 1976 or 77, somewhere around in there, and he was also instrumental. Because what we had at that time, we had our two main hospitals at that time, which is now President's Covenant, called Mercy at that time, and Carl. And what they would do is each one of the different hospitals, because of the staffing requirements, would run the actual emergency medical room down inside the football stadium, on either underneath what we call the East stands or the West stands.
Mm-hmm. And we still have East stands and West stands.
That's pretty neat. Now, one thing that came out, I mean, for those individuals that have ever been to a football game, you have an incredible problem with stairs and steps and crawling and climbing and people all over the place, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
I'll never forget, I know probably, it was probably in the early 80s when they developed what they call a stair chair.
Yes.
Do you still, have that and the new versions of that today, don't you?
Yes, each of our, I think there's 15 teams that staff the stadium on any given football game, and each team carries its own stair chair along with a jump pack and an AED. Some teams have stretchers, some don't, but every team has a stair chair.
Could you describe what a chair is? Describe a stair chair for the people that are not familiar, please.
Okay, so it's basically a chair that has handles on the end and the top that you can put a patient in from a sitting position. You just help them into a chair like they would be sitting on the ground, and then it tilts back, and there are two EMTs, or two first responders, I guess, who would stand at the head of the chair and then the feet of the chair, and they can carry a person in a chair down the stairs. So when you have someone who's up high in the high rise and you can't get a stretcher up there, but they're able to get into a chair, they don't need to be spine boarded or anything. It's a great resource because it's pretty easy to use and it's very comfortable for the patient as well.
Yeah, I know. All of us, when we went through training, we actually, not only in order to learn how to use it, we actually get in and ride it where they took us up and down. Because
uh-huh.
You can't really learn how to do it unless you find out what it's like to be in one.
Yeah, I'm pretty short, so they always make me be the dummy in it.
Yeah, what are you majoring in, by the way?
So I just switched this semester from biochemistry to animal sciences.
Wow.
So I switched because it's a very long story, but my aunt is a dietitian for the Chicago Blackhawks and is very, very good at what she does. And she introduced me to this doctor who was a veterinarian, but he's also an MD, and he looked at animal diets and diseases that animals got, and they linked every disease that an animal got with a mineral deficiency in that animal's diet. So what I'm so interested in is how, if animals act that way, if maybe humans paid attention to their diet, maybe the same things happen with us. And instead of treating it with all these prescriptions, we could just look at the actual nutrition of someone. So I've greatly, greatly enjoyed that. And then I've still been on track for all my pre-med requirements and was planning to go to med school next year, but just decided that I'm actually going to go into the Navy for 5 years instead and then come back and go to med school.
Now, you realize with the Navy you can go to the Joint Services Hospital and get your med school for free.
Oh, yes. That was a big, big factor in my decision.
Yeah, one of the things, and again, in my career, as you know, I ended up being a combat medic and doing all this stuff and being involved in medical medicine and all this stuff and then hazard materials in the military. Man, I started that so long ago and it's hard to even remember when it began, but it's been a real interesting thing. Well, how does a person get involved in IMS? Obviously, you got Quad Day, they'll find out what it is. What does it entail, and how do they do that?
So, along with Quad Day, we also try and do promotional events where, like for National Collegiate EMS Week, we put a table on the quad, and we try and educate people about their health. So we had Vitals Day and offered to take people's blood pressure. Maybe their blood pressure was high. We had CPR Day to show people that the hands-only CPR, how you can really help and save someone's life. And then not only do we have that EMS or EMT class, we also offer CPR classes 3 times a week. And then we also have a first responder class, which is a kind of a shortened version of the EMT class. And then we staff all these events. So once you get your CPR license, you can start working events for the group. And then you can continue on and get your EMT license if you want. You could become a CPR instructor. You can be a supervisor for events. There's many, many different routes you can take once you're involved in the organization, but it starts with that first CPR card.
Yeah, you have the basics, and then you go on from there. Mm-hmm. I mean, just incredible opportunities. Now, again, one thing, and I learned because, well, I did my bachelor's at Western Illinois. I did my master's and PhD at the University of Illinois in education at the same time that I was as advisor, faculty advisor for IMS, which was, I mean, strange. I don't know how all that happened. Thanks to Paul Dollins and Gary Brinkley and everybody else. All of us were just there at the beginning. But continuing education also became extraordinarily important. I mean, if you're an EMT, obviously you have to have so much continuing education every year for relicensing under the state of Illinois. Because when we started this, again, the same thing, and this is where it tied into the Illinois Army National Guard, because as we put this program together, we're using IEMS as the springboard in order to get the Army medics their national certifications and state certifications as EMTs, which then opened up the door. But again, yeah. You have to have continuing education. So what was done there under all these incredible, incredible people that I've mentioned before, and I want to don't forget Dan Smith. God bless Dan Smith, who was a fire chief and legend in emergency medicine, emergency rescue here in East Central Illinois. But what we did is, again, putting together the continuing education programs where they had all these things set up for the instructors. You can go to Parkland, you come to the U of I, you go to Carl, you could go to Mercy. At that time, we'd go to McKinley. At that time, we also still had Chanute Air Force Base, the former Air Force Hospital up here, which was integral in the entire program. So the opportunities there for continuing education connected with the U of I, it seems to me, far exceeded what the standard EMT was going to encounter, you know, back in a small community.
Yeah, so we, through our EMT class, those practicals that I mentioned on Saturdays, we get continuing education for staffing those practicals. So the student, we put together, we had one yesterday, it was their graded medical one, and there were, I think, 8 different scenes, all different medical, a few trauma, just to keep them on their toes. And we have proctors and then patients. So for my scene, I was a patient who was having a child. So I was some pregnant lady who was scared, so I called EMS. So then the students have to run through, and we make sure they covered all the things and know how to deliver the baby and how to give the baby an APGAR score and everything. So we've been able to get continuing education by staffing those practicals, which has been great for us.
Yeah, I think one of the other thing too, and you already mentioned this, and I want to come back to it again, they were integral in the very beginning of it, is the Fire Service Institute at the University of Illinois. They were mm-hmm. totally, totally into this at the very day one when we formed this whole thing back there. And again, a lot of those guys have all gone on to heaven. Unfortunately, you know, and some are still involved, but most everybody's retired to this day. But the Fire Service Institute has been at the U of I for many years. They're specifically, they're integral, they're part of the official training program for firemen within the state of Illinois. And they do all the rescue stuff, CPR, they got continuing ed, the opportunities, they got an entire mock area out in the southwest corner of campus where you can actually go for hands-on training, not just thinking at a desk, but actually get out there and get your hands on, can't you?
Yeah, so our faculty advisor right now is actually Brian Brower, who is the associate director of IFSI.
Boy, it doesn't get any better than that, does it?
Yeah, so in the summer, the first week in June, is their fire college where all the new fire people come, and they have classes, and then they also have different acts throughout the day where they have live burnings and everything going on. So I'm actually the medical staff on site there during these live burnings. So they're all new firefighters, so the heat exhaustion really starts to get to them. So he had us do that, and then he actually offered our members, if any of them are interested in fire, that they could also go and take these courses as long as they work one of the days. So it's a really good partnership that we have with this Fire Institute, because two of our members actually are working through, I want to say it's Carroll Fire Department, and they are getting their fire medic licenses right now.
Again, that's where, again, coming, that's where Dan Smith is fire chief, so again, comes back to the same thing. I know back, it goes back to day one, Paul Morrison was instrumental. He was an FSI instructor at the time all this began back in the 70s. And again, some of the other individuals out there, and Jim and all these other individuals, again, I'm not even sure how many are left around. We talked to everybody. Doc, who's still been around, I know he lives in Gifford, Illinois. But what we did do, and again, this was very instrumental, is Paul Morrison offered vertical rescue. And everybody from IMS could actually go and learn vertical rescue, not just, I mean, sitting there and figuring out what you're doing, but using the ropes and everything. And at that time, and I know I was just by it, they have what's called the Old Egg Engineering Building, and it had a elevator that goes three stories, and they're big enough to haul tractors. And what they would do, and Paul Morris and all of us that were getting involved and teach at that time, because FSI's offices were in the Old Egg Engineering Building at that time, is teach the EMTs vertical rescue, where you're actually working in a Stokes basket, and Paul Morrison developed the CPR procedures and protocols for a Stokes basket. So, I mean, we're looking at IMS and the people involved here being on the cutting edge of emergency medicine for many, many years.
Wow, that is crazy.
I got some neat pictures. I need to share all this stuff with you.
Yeah, bring them on Sunday.
Yeah, we'll have to do this. Yeah, well, speaking of that, what, you're going to have a big banquet, aren't you, for the 35th for IMS? That's on Sunday, April?
27th.
How do people get involved in that?
Whoever is willing to come, as long as we know their name, they're more than welcome to come.
And they can just contact the, we'll put this stuff on our website, the University of Illinois, Illinois Emergency Medical Services. I mean, when we first started this, we called it Illini. When did they switch from Illini to Illinois?
I'm not sure. For all that I know, we've always been IEMS.
Yeah. I mean, it's been there. Now, the other thing, too, and we were involved in this, is really neat, and maybe you're aware of it. We have our sister university, Purdue University, the Boilermakers, and we also went back and forth. So the U of I IEMS and Purdue Boilermakers IEMS, well, you know, I guess they'd be PEMS. They would go back and forth at the various football games, which is really neat, because I know I went over there several times, and I worked emergency services for the Boilermakers at Purdue, and that was really neat. And the same thing when they came here. I mean, it started out such a nice program and everything else, where Paul Dowens and all these individuals had this incredible, Dick Rogers and everybody had this incredible idea to put something together, and it's been wonderful. I know one of the things, I know I got photographs and everything, and IEMS was instrumental in a national level event, probably an international event. And I don't know if you're aware of this. Do you ever heard of the thing called Farm Aid?
No, what is that?
Farm Aid was back during the 80s, and what it was is Willie and all his guys got together, and what it was, there was a crisis in agriculture, and they wanted to raise funds for the farmers across our nation. And so Willie and all those guys, incredible artists, musicians from all, I mean the top musicians in our entire nation and beyond, all came together at Memorial Stadium at the U of I in the football stadium for an incredible concert, basically the last, I think it was like 2 or 3 days.
Oh, wow.
And, I mean, Farm Aid, it was just something absolutely beyond comprehension. And so that entire football stadium, now where all the stands were completely filled, but the entire floor of the football field was filled with also. So I don't know how close to 100,000 people in there, and we had teams all over the place. I mean, we were busy from night and day for all the time. because we had all the alcohol, we had all the drug problems, we had all the food problems, we had all of the standard medical emergencies, we had people tripling and falling, and on top of that, it rained like cats and dogs. I mean, it was flooded. But, again, I mean, just one of those things, Farm Aid, I mean, there's so many different events that have happened there. One thing that we did do, again, coming back, is obviously we have the 4th of July events, and IMS was involved in the 4th of July events back in the when it was founded and into the 80s. I don't know if they were involved in that, because at that time, all of the 4th of July's events happened at, on campus and at the Memorial Stadium, so they had to tie it all together.
That is so interesting.
Yeah, Farm Aid was something else working that one. I mean, we did more emergency medicine, and we got colder and wetter than I think we've ever done in a few days.
I think that's how we feel after. We are a big part of the Illinois Marathon that happens. That's actually next weekend as well.
Yeah, what is the Illinois Marathon? Let's promote that. I mean, they just reopened registration, I guess, didn't they?
Oh, well, I'm actually supposed to be working it, but I decided I'm going to run it instead. I ran it my freshman year, and then I worked it for IMS last year, and then I'm running it again this year.
So what is the Illinois Marathon? This is a fundraiser, correct?
No, it's just a running race that happens. It's put on by Christie Clinic. Is one of the major sponsors for it. I think they might donate to a fundraiser as well. But there's a 5K race, so 3.1 miles. There's on Friday night. Then on Saturday morning, there's a half marathon, which is 13.1 miles, a marathon, which is 26.2 miles, and then also a 10K, which is 6.2 miles, and then a kids run. So IMS has about 6 stadium teams, and then they work with the firefighters and the EMS throughout the course of the race. So I know last year I ran an aid station at mile 4 by myself with 2 other CPR members. Because they have ambulances around, but if there's a call, that ambulance has to leave. So IMS is really crucial with these first aid stations because we don't transport, so we'll always be there. So it's a great experience, and, you know, just judging by the numbers of the people, we get a ton of calls from it. So it's a really good experience for our members as well. And I like to run it because then I know all the people working at the first aid station, so I have people cheering for me the whole way.
That means a lot.
Well, yeah.
When individuals say, for example, let's bring this word and tie together with Warrior Connection. If an individual's been a combat medic in the military and wants to get out and continue the academic education, obviously the University of Illinois would be a really good place to come to get their academic education. They go into nursing, they go into medicine formally or whatever they want to do. And while they're there, they can become a part of IMS and take their practical experience that they had and contribute to make IMS all that much better, too.
Yes, so, that would be great.
That would be neat. So, I mean, it's neat to think something 35 years later, all this stuff is continuing on, and it's wonderful. I mean, all the other events, now, again, the same thing. When you're volunteering for IMS at an event, obviously, you know, you're going to the event and the event's happening. But most of the time, you're really so busy that you have to focus on emergency medicine and be prepared rather than watching the event, don't you?
Yes. You sometimes can watch the event, but the second the call comes, you got to respond quickly. So we just made a huge stride with IMS, actually. We just got our own 800 radios. And for those who don't know, the 800 radio is the frequency that all EMS in Champaign County is on, that all fire and police are also on. So technically, now we would be able to be dispatched if there was ever a national crisis, or not national, but a major crisis like an MCI or a bombing that happened to happen somewhere on campus. We, as IMS members all sign a waiver saying if there was something catastrophic to happen that we would agree to help. And so now with these new radios, we can actually be dispatched through Champaign County dispatchers, and we can go and provide medical help if something were to happen. So that's something huge that we just got, which is really big for us.
Yeah, it's a lot better because back at the time we were working on word of mouth and runner, and then we got little walkie-talkies. But, I mean, the technology has changed incredible. I mean, cell phones didn't exist. Pagers didn't exist. I know I was on a voice-activated pager at that time, which was very rare. But, again, we didn't have a whole lot of theirs there. Well, you know, one thing everybody's going to ask, anytime you get involved in IMS, obviously, I mean, you got to get the education and everything. Are there any costs involved in this, or what do you do, or how do you go about that?
So, well, that's a big thing that we're dealing with right now, is because we're considered a campus organization, which is great because that's what we are, but we provide this service. So sometimes we have a hard time funding our service because cots and stair chairs and medicine is all really expensive. So right now, in order to be a member with the university, it's $10 for the whole year. That's all you pay. If you want to take a CPR class, like you don't have it, you have to pay for your CPR class. You have to pay for the EMT class, which is $460. But anywhere else in the county is way more expensive than that. So we do that, and then we don't really have an income other than through our education processes. So right now we're kind of in the works with figuring out how we can align ourselves with the university so that maybe they could give us a budget so we could have the best equipment and not have to worry about funding all that kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah, because emergency medical equipment, again, you've got so many expendables that you have to use all the time.
And even time some that expires. And the
durable equipment does wear out because it is used. I mean, I guess one thing that I've learned and what I've seen, I guess your same experiences, you're coming there and you become part of IMS, you become an EMT or a first responder. You really are involved in emergency medicine at all these events and can continue on for four or your entire academic career, whether you know doing just your bachelor's, your master's, your PhD, MD, DVM, whatever involved. So, I mean, it's really something that lasts an entire academic career and then sets you up for the rest of your life, doesn't it?
Exactly. Lifelong friendships.
Pardon?
Lifelong friendships for number one as well.
I know all of us. I mean, when I was talking to some of the guys over here as you're coming up with this thing and getting back and talk to everybody in there, I mean, we've been friends for many, many years. I mean, it all started there with such a simple thing.
That's great.
You know, it's just one of the things that you come into. The neat thing about this, ladies and gentlemen, and again, if you're thinking about doing this, if you're getting out of the military with the severe cutbacks that we're going to anticipate, is you have to go on and get your academic career. And I think, Moira, you and I both know, because we're U of I, that anybody can achieve greatness in academics, but they all have to put in effort, don't they? It takes a lot of effort, a lot of work, asking a lot of questions, and getting a lot of help, doesn't it?
Exactly.
But the U of I, just like any other university, the opportunities are incredible.
Yes, and we hope to make ourselves, I mean, we are as inclusive as we can, are possibly able to. As long as you have a CPR card and you really want to help people, we're willing to work with you. And it's been great to find people who have been so associated with this organization for so long. For example, you and then Dr. Weir over at Carl, he said, you know, I didn't even know I wanted to go into emergency medicine. And then I saw this group on campus, and now he's an emergency room physician. And then I went to another talk the other day, and the guy said he got exposed to emergency medicine through Illini EMS, and I had never even met him or known him, and he's also a doctor in the emergency room. So it's great how connected something so small, a little organization at this university, can bring people. And it's great to see how far these people have gone as well, too. It gives a lot of hope for our members.
Yeah, I think one thing, people can just achieve greatness. All they have to do is make the decision they want to do it, get involved, and try and ask for help. I think one thing, and again, that goes back to the legend of IEMS, everybody's involved, I know from day one, have been giving and giving and giving, because the attitude was, if I give more, I end up getting more in return. So it's not a thing where you're looking for something. It's you're out there making a difference and making a contribution in the community and on campus and wherever you go.
Exactly.
I mean, it makes a big difference. It's so neat to hear all this stuff happening.
I know. It's so cool.
Yeah, where does IMS have a set of offices or anything where people can come find you guys?
So we are in the second floor of the Illini Union in the RSO complex. So on the quad side of the union, if you walk in there and then up that first set of stairs on your left, we're on the second floor. When you get up to the second floor, you take a right, and then our office is 258. So it's along the left wall.
Yeah. So again, the website for University of Illinois is illinois.edu. And then you can just go on there and find the student organizations and pull up IEMS, can't you?
Yep. And that, you can also just Google IEMS UIUC, and it should be the first one that pops up.
I mean, Google nowadays? Whoa! Yeah. Wow, that's neat. So, again, give us a contact information for IEMS again, please, thoroughly.
Oh, it's, I think it's IlliniEMS.org is the website.
Okay, and we'll double-check that. So you're at the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign.
Mm-hmm.
And Urbana-Champaign is, we're about 100 miles west of Indianapolis, about 150 miles south of Chicago, and what, about 150 or 160 miles down to St. Louis. So there's opportunities all around here. Academics at the U of I, it's a major research university. I mean, it has one of the greatest libraries in the world, I know, because I've lived in the library. And the neat thing about it, and I mean, this comes back to the same thing, at the University of Illinois, undergraduate library is underground, isn't it?
It is. The undergrad is underground.
And that's because you can't throw shade on the corn of the famous Morrow Plot.
The only school with a cornfield in the middle of the campus.
Yeah, that's the oldest, I think, ongoing agricultural research cornfield in the United States. I mean, it's you know, a national monument and everything just right there. Also, besides our library, we have an on-campus observatory. I know they just used it the other night. I mean, I couldn't get to it, but it was interesting.
That is great.
Well, Moira, thank you very much. Thank you for leading IMS today and taking it to the new heights and everything else, and hopefully it'll go in the future. Ladies and gentlemen, Moira Gilroy from the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign, the Illinois Emergency Medical Services. Thank you, Moira.
Thank you so
and
ladies much.
And ladies and gentlemen, good evening, and get in contact with them and see where you can go. Thank you, and good evening. Thank you, Moira.
Thanks for having us.